Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:11, I heard a good Super Bowl story the other day. Dave, do you know the story that Michael Irvin, during one of the Cowboys Super Bowls, snuck out of the locker room at halftime to see Michael Jackson do the halftime show?
I don't know if I heard that story, but it doesn't surprise me somehow. I wonder if...
That would have been Jimmy Johnson probably, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe Switzer.
Yeah.
One of the two. Yeah. But I love the idea that Mike...
it's out there.
Coach, I'll be right back. And he's out watching it, dancing in a run-up to the field.
I think that's a problem for a lot of coaches if they found out their guys were
probably so. Probably so. You're not wrong, Dave. You're not wrong about that.
I don't think so.
Abigail Grace Cochran yesterday picked the Atlanta Falcons to beat the New England Patriots.
How did she make her decision?
Well, it was not easy. I mean, there was a lot of analysts or analysis that went into it. In her case, maybe analysts.
Didn't you show her a picture of Tom Brady?
Here's what I did, because I had limited access to photos and stuff. I found a picture of Kellyanne Conway in her inauguration day outfit of red, white, and blue, where she looked like the New England Patriots logo.
Oh, yeah, the Revolutionary War coat. Yeah.
Right.
The musket.
Right. And then I found a picture of an actual Falcon on my phone.
Ah, that's a cool idea.
So I had a magazine with Kellyanne Conway's picture and then a picture of an actual Falcon on my phone, and my one-year-old granddaughter, Abigail Grace, ended up picking
the phone. The Falcon on the phone. You don't think she was just running away from Kellyanne Conway?
I think she was disturbed by the outfit, okay. But nonetheless, she's picking the Falcons.
All right. Now we know.
Oh, and by the way, she says take the points.
Now we know who to root for.
Time for the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
The president was presidential last night. Started off as maybe The Apprentice, bringing in 15 or 20 judges. And telling us finally that he picked Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court. Now, we'll get into whether the Republicans and Democrats will fight over this. Of course they will. But Gorsuch seems to be, while not as moderate as Merrick Garland, certainly someone that Democrats could get behind if they chose to. And Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court pick at the age of 49, I believe.
49.
Could be sitting on the court for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Didn't you think the way they announced it, or the way Trump announced it, was really strange too? I know it was prime time, but to have that large of an audience, and they gave Trump a standing ovation,
yeah.
And then as he's
like
speaking, yeah, as he's speaking about Judge Gorsuch, he got another standing ovation. Just bizarre.
It's mandatory, the standing ovation.
Oh, I'm sure it mandatory. Is. Yeah.
But Trump coming off his wacky immigration weekend. That could have gone south, and he actually appeared to be the president. So, a good pick, at least on the surface. Item number two here, if you would. Saturdays appear to be a disaster for the president so far. The first Saturday was when he actually called the Park Service instead stopped tweeting. This was about 12 hours after he got into office.
Right.
And then there was the Saturday where his press secretary had the press conference that said, yes, we did have the largest crowd. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We totally did. We did. We did. We did. We did. We did. Stop picking on us. So it appears that one of the reasons Saturdays may be a disaster is because his chief advisor from the family, Jared Kushner, husband to Ivanka, is an Orthodox Jew who doesn't work on the Sabbath.
Ah, yes, that's true.
So, therefore, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, he's not available to the president.
That's true.
And by way of patterns, the president's meltdowns have occurred on the last two Saturdays.
Don't forget the Women's March, too.
That was
a great Saturday for him.
And didn't follow up. So there you go. So keep your eye on Saturdays.
Is Melania with him or not? Because he should have a date night.
No, she's not with him.
She's not. So she's in New York.
She's in New York fooling around with
the
gardener.
So he has not much else to do except work on Saturday nights.
She's in New York with Barron.
He should go see her on the weekend.
He should. Yeah. I mean, I tweeted that out last week, and I said, take the weekend off. You've done enough.
Yes.
So, nice. Next. President was supposed to be at Harley-Davidson in Milwaukee tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I know the person that was going to give him the tour.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
At the Harley factory?
Harley has canceled the presidential trip, telling the president it's probably not a good time because of the threat of a huge protest. There are security concerns, but I'm also sure that Harley doesn't want the publicity.
The bad pub, yeah.
Yeah, the bad pub as well. So he's not coming to Milwaukee. That's bad news for some. That's good news for some, I'm sure. And I don't think he gets a free Harley, but maybe down the road. And I'm wearing a special hat today. This is a Bradley University hat.
Oh, that's the Bradley Braves?
Yeah, limited edition Bradley University hat. This is in tribute to the Caterpillar folks. Caterpillar has announced, or at least, I don't even know if it's official yet, but certainly people understand that it's happening. Caterpillar's moving to Chicago. Now, is this the headquarter or the corporate side? They're not moving the plant to downtown Chicago.
The new global headquarters.
The global
will
headquarters.
Will be in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the plant will remain in Peoria. Having said that, it's a blow to Peoria, and I'm feeling for the people of Peoria, having spent some time there because Ross went to school at Bradley. And they're fine people, and Caterpillar and Peoria have been hand-in-hand since Caterpillar was created, right?
Yeah,
yes.
They were supposed to build a new office complex down in Peoria, too, from what I understand, and those plans have been scrapped now.
Yeah, it's too bad. Too bad. I mean,
they have a big museum right on the waterfront in Peoria.
And the waterfront in Peoria is nice.
It's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm feeling for you, Peoria, as Caterpillar has announced their, what are they calling it?
The global headquarters. Yeah.
The intergalactic headquarters are coming to Chicago. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert together again last night on Colbert's show. And funny, as you would expect, though Jon Stewart surprisingly went with the stunt of the Trump wig. That part won't translate on the radio, but we'll play a little audio coming up. And one more, if we don't mind. Let's get one more. Can we get one more? Do we have one more? I think I only did five. Yeah, this is it. Russell Simmons says he's no longer friends with Donald Trump. And, you know, I hate when billionaires fight. When billionaires fight, it makes me uncomfortable and nervous. Russell Simmons was very good friends with Donald Trump. He was at the dinner where Trump and Melania had their first date. He spent many, many weekends at Mar-a-Lago. And he now says they're no longer friends and they don't talk.
He did a big video at the RNC for Trump. It was like a mini documentary that he just did documenting their friendship and the first day they met. And
he is dead set against him being president and the moves that he's making. And he's very afraid for America. So when billionaires fight.
The Steve Cochran Show.
This may be the most transparent judicial selection process in history. Months ago, as a candidate, I publicly presented a list.
There is one more rose left, and I don't know who it's going to be.
Millions of voters said this was the single most important issue to them.
I would hope to God that I get a rose tonight.
I am a man of my word. I will do as I say.
I have no idea what's in his head.
Something that the American people have been asking for from Washington for a very, very long time.
It would suck if I went home on the first night just because he didn't really get a chance to get to know me.
Today I'm keeping another promise to the American people by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch of the United States Supreme Court to be of the United States Supreme Court.
Will you accept this rose?
Mr. President, thank you very much.
I think they make a cute couple. I do. Nice job, Jake. You're twisted, and I appreciate it. Neil Gorsuch got the rose last night. Good for him. Now let the fighting begin. Washington's biggest coward, Mitch McConnell, of course, stood up and said that he would not consider Merrick Garland one of the most moderate nominees for the Supreme Court because of this cockamamie BS argument that the president was in his final year of office, so therefore nobody ever does a Supreme Court nomination in the final year of office. You let the next guy or girl or whoever the president is pick, even though the Republicans had the votes to block it. The coward Mitch McConnell refused to even have Garland meet with any members of Congress or take the vote that they could have won because they would have been seen as blocking a moderate candidate and a very favorable candidate for the Supreme Court. And it could have affected the election that they ended up winning anyway. So the Democrats have an opportunity now to be grown-ups. Don't expect that. They won't be. The Democrats will now in turn block Gorsuch, even though everybody and their sister voted for Gorsuch and confirmed him for the judgeship he's now leaving in hopes of becoming a member of the Supreme Court. This is how Washington works now. Don't listen to what I said before. I didn't mean that. Listen to what I'm saying now. This is the part. This is what I mean now. But for Lindsey Graham and for others to stand up and bring up again this BS argument that Obama shouldn't have had a pick in the final year, that's you don't get to rewrite the Constitution.
He was still in office for 10 more months.
Yes. You're the president for the entire time. You're not the president for 7 out of the 8 years. It's just ridiculous. So the Democrats certainly deserve to take a swing back at the Republicans, but they could do themselves much better if they were grown-ups here, which they won't be. But if they were grown-ups here and actually did the right thing and did a fair hearing and a fair vote on Gorsuch, the Republicans have the votes. He will be confirmed. He will be on the Supreme Court, unless we find out something hideous about him. But there doesn't appear to be anything in his past that would block it. He seems to be a well-thought-out pick. So Trump should get his first Supreme Court nominee. And this whole notion, and we can take this up with Karen Conti, I sort of get tired of this notion that, oh, we got to be very careful how we pick for the Supreme Court. These are judges. These are judges that are asked to hear these cases based on the merits and make decisions based on the merits, not on their own political beliefs. Yet we treat all of these judges like, well, we got to pick a hardcore liberal. We got to pick a hardcore conservative. I have a little more faith in them than that.
I do, too. But Antonin Scalia was a very, very, very conservative justice. And you can say the same, you know, for maybe Sotomayor or somebody on the left.
David Souter.
Who's more of a lefty. This pick, I agree with you, though. I know the 6 Senate Democrats say that they're going to filibuster, or they've already come out filibustering. But I think he's going to get confirmed.
What, do they practice filibustering? Are they warming up?
They said they've come out against filibustering against his appointment.
So they are or they aren't?
There's 6 Senate Democrats who are not going to. But the rest of the Democrats say that they will.
Well, Schumer will make the ultimate call on
that.
If they do it, it's just a stall tactic to try to send a message. And the message is that the Democrats are just as childish as the Republicans. So congratulations. We need to move on with things in this country and actually make some progress and get things done. And while the pick was literally stolen, there's no other way to put it. The coward from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, stole the president's Supreme Court pick. You can hate Obama all day if you want. You can think he did a terrible job as president. The fact is, it was his pick to make, and all the Senate had to do was take it up fairly, as they are tasked to do by the Constitution, and as Antonin Scalia would have asked him to do because he was an originalist. He believed in the Constitution as written, not to be reinterpreted by Mitch McConnell. So the fact is, he didn't. They stole the pick. Now the Democrats have an opportunity to do the right thing. I wish I had more faith in anybody in Washington, but I don't. So I believe if the Democrats did the right thing here, and because there appears to be very little you can argue with this pick about, and confirm Neil Gorsuch and they move on to other things, they're going to have more positives going forward for them as a party, and they certainly need it because the Democrats are a mess. But instead, this will probably turn into another ugly fight over the next several days.
And poor Merrick Garland. I mean,
ridiculous.
The guy didn't even get a hearing.
Just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, did I mention Mitch McConnell's a weasel?
Yes.
Oh, I did. Okay. So there's your update on all of that. And congratulations again on Neil Gorsuch. He got the rose. It's 6:29. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti knows the Supreme Court well. We're going to talk about that in just a second. See what you think of Mr. Gorsuch and what this all means. And good morning to you.
Good morning.
But first I wanted to ask you about the attorneys that showed up at O'Hare to help, and if there's any legal story there, either by way of legal recourse for those who were detained or any charges to be filed. What do you know?
Well, you know, I think if the Trump ban is deemed to be unconstitutional, I think these people are going to have a right to sue under the civil rights laws, and there's going to be a lot of them. I mean, will they do it? Will they get lawyers to do it? Yes or no, I don't know. But the whole thing is just a mess. It was not thought out very well. It could have been done in a way that was more legal, but it's just creating a huge, huge legal mess across the country.
I heard a long time ago from someone, and it may have been George H.W. Bush's people, but I heard a story a long time ago, and the idea in Washington, the idea to survive in the White House is to create the least possible arguments from the people who think you're wrong. So in other words, you think it out to the extent where you need to think it out, and you water down the arguments of the other side. You know they're going to come after you, but you water down the arguments. Trump's people so far have just thrown everything against the wall to see what sticks.
It just wasn't thought out. I mean, the president, don't get me wrong, the president has really broad discretion. The president can say, we don't want people from this country or that country. That's clearly within his power. Whether it's right or wrong is another story. But he can't discriminate against religion. And in passing this and in issuing this executive order, he has said numerous times, we are trying to keep the Muslims out and we're going to give preferential treatment to the Christians. Can't do that. I mean, it's, you know, this is not being anti-American. This is like fundamental human rights. This is what our country was about. This is why people came to this country, so they wouldn't be persecuted for their religion. And so it's so fundamental from a legal standpoint that it just seems, how could he have done this? You know, he could have done it in a way that was legal, but he chose to do it in a way that really just thumbs its nose at the First Amendment.
Before we get to the Supreme Court.
Karen, Sally Yates, just a question about that. The Deputy Attorney General who was relieved of her duties.
Fired.
You're
fired.
Yeah, in a scathing
head for the
way.
Chopper.
For doing, I mean, and just in reading about her, I mean, 30 years of experience within the Justice Department working under three different presidents, you know, I just am kind of confused with the, she was doing what she thought was right with the law, right? Because she didn't think, she thought it wouldn't hold up in court. I mean, is she allowed to do that? I know she's an elected, or she's a public servant, but is that kind of murky waters with the law?
Well, she's in a bad position because her boss is telling her to do one thing and the law and her conscience is telling her to do another. You know, she could have some sort of lawsuit for wrongful termination because she was acting within her conscience. But you know what? She did what she had to do. I think she was just in a really, really bad position. Lawyers are put in that position quite often with clients and with supervisors. And, you know, you ultimately have a duty to, basically be a good lawyer and do what you're supposed to be doing and honor the Constitution. And she obviously was doing what she thought. My guess is she's going to be just fine. I think she's probably going to have more job offers than anybody we know.
Yeah. But Pat Brady brought this up yesterday. He said the first day of law school, you hear your opinion doesn't matter. The law matters. Is that one of the toughest things about being a lawyer, taking your opinion out of it?
Well, yeah, right. You know, everything is, you know, the law is what the law is, and there's arguments on both sides, right? There's, you know, but sometimes there's a bright line. Sometimes something is completely is going to be wrong, and you can't argue that. You're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be arguing against what the law says. So, you know, I think what she did was heroic. I think she did what was right, and I hope she lands on her feet somewhere.
Oh, and I'm sure she will as well. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the Supreme Court. You can tell me what you think of Neil Gorsuch and, of course, how grown up the Democrats will be. Going forward in the confirmation process, because I have nothing but faith in Washington. I think you know that about me. $6.50. I got involved in watching Bridge of Spies for the 45th time last night. Karen Conti rejoins us now. That is a great movie if you love the law and want a sense of the appreciation of everybody needs a defense, everybody's entitled to a defense in our justice system. Have you ever seen it, Bridge of Spies, the Tom Hanks thing?
No, I have not.
What are you doing? You got to watch that movie.
Yeah, I'm too busy practicing law, Steve.
Oh, you're actually doing it. It's not a movie for you. I get it.
That's right. And when I go to the movie theater, I try to avoid the legal movies.
I see. All right, fine. So the people working at McDonald's probably aren't going to see The Founder, the Ray Kroc story. I get it. Audrey had a basic question, though, that kind of spins off that story, and the question being about defense attorneys and if you know, right?
Well, yeah, I just was curious if you know someone committed a crime, and it built off the Sally Yates conversation, too. If you know someone committed a crime, do you want to know, or do you? What if you know, and then do you continue to defend them? Is that a conscience call, too, Karen?
Well, if you know someone committed a crime, if you know for sure because the guy told you, you can't put him up on the stand and have him say, I didn't commit the crime. But you can put him, you cannot put him on the stand, and you can make the state prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it. Okay?
But you don't want to know, right? You don't want to, I would think that would handicap you.
Generally, you don't because you want to reserve the right to call your defendant. Usually, you're not going to call your defendant. Take O.J. What I think happened here, and I'm just making this up, is that O.J. confessed, and his lawyer, Kardashian, at the time, knew that he confessed to it. So he couldn't be the lawyer because O.J. at some point might want to go on the stand and deny that he did it. So that's why they switched lawyers. So, yeah, ethically, I can't. Suborn perjury, those are the words. So I can't put you on the stand and know that you're lying. I have a duty to correct that if my client does it. That's where the ethical line gets drawn.
You ever defend anybody where you knew? I mean, other than me?
She can't say.
Well, I'm not asking for a name. Right. Have you ever defended a client where you knew they were guilty or innocent?
Sure. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and then what you do is you just make the state prove beyond a reasonable doubt by picking holes in the case. And you can win that way. There's no question about it. But, you know, there's different gradations of guilt, and that's what's interesting about being a lawyer. Someone might be charged with a felony, but you think that it's more of a misdemeanor, and you can pick holes in something to make it a lesser crime. So the person goes to jail, the person gets punished, but not to the extent the prosecutor wants.
My good friend and your late husband, Greg Adamski, and I used to have arguments about this all the time. And by the way, he knows he was right. And I'm telling you again, he was right. But I still argued with him. It's like, how can you defend this guy? Because he deserves a defense. And that's the whole point of Bridges Spies. I think you should see it. I think you'd like it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And let's talk about the Supreme Court here. Neil Gorsuch, your thoughts?
I think he's super qualified. I mean, Columbia, Harvard. He has a doctorate in, I think it's called like legal philosophy or something. In addition to being a lawyer, he's young. He's well thought of. He's a very good pick. You know, he's on the conservative side for sure. But you know, he should be confirmed. There's no question. Just like Merrick Garland should have been confirmed. The question is going to be political. It's not going to be based upon merit here.
Do we spend too much time wringing our hands and going, oh, we have to have this conservative or this liberal judge, when at the same time falling out of our mouths are words like you can't legislate from the bench, that's not your job? In other words, if a judge is there to call balls and strikes and be impartial and everything a judge is supposed to be, why are we so caught up in whether they're conservative or liberal in their private life?
You know, that's always a good point. I think two things. I think a judge always comes to the bench with some sort of life experience that makes you one way or the other. Do you believe in gay marriage? Do you believe in women's rights? I think judges have really strong feelings and really strong opinions and life experiences that lend themselves to these rulings. On the other hand, they are tasked with looking at the facts of the case. So, you know, when a judge comes down against women's rights on a case, for instance, it could be because the facts and the law were not in favor of that ruling. So, you know, to say that person's against women's rights because it ruled against women doesn't mean that person is a bigot, you know. So I think that we have to be very careful when we look at people's rulings and look at the actual case. And again, who's going to read, you know, a 25-page opinion to decide whether that person is truly slanted to one side or is really just performing his job?
Well, and the most recent example I could think of that is Chief Justice John Roberts, when every legal analyst on television and in print and on the radio all said the same thing. Slam dunk, Obamacare is over, not a chance this will pass. And Roberts, the alleged conservative Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, ruled based on the law as he saw it, and Obamacare stayed in play. So I guess I just...
No, that's exactly right.
I have more faith in these judges than the public does. I don't know.
I mean, these people are just academic. I mean, if you ever talk to any of these people, I've met Scalia, I've met some of these people. These people are so smart. And they almost, I wish they almost knew that the ramifications of their rulings would have such, you know, practical effect. But I don't think they even really think about that as much as they do. Am I upholding the law? Am I upholding the Constitution? Is this consistent with the way I view the law? And again, Gorsuch is going to be somebody who, like Scalia, as you said, is an originalist and is going to be very literal in the translation of the Constitution. That doesn't always come down on the side of conservative, though. Sometimes it comes down on the other side.
Right.
So, you know, I think he's a good pick. And I think there's going to be a filibuster, and I think the Democrats are going to give payback, and it's going to be an ugly scene. And we may have only 8 justices for a while.
So, Karen, when you see these concerns from people, they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade, overturn same-sex marriage, or on the other side, reverse the Second Amendment. The chances of that happening are highly unlikely because you'd have to go through the whole process of basically overturning a law.
You'd have to overturn another Supreme Court decision. And when you are a justice, you're supposed to be following precedent. That's the whole key to the law, is that we have cases that have been decided in the past. We want to make sure we're consistent with them in the future. And so to go back against those laws would be wrong. Now, Roe versus Wade is probably the most susceptible to being overturned because it's an opinion that is old. It's an opinion that, frankly, and again, this is not my opinion, but I think women should have the right to choose. But in this case, it's not, I wouldn't say it was the most sound decision ever. It created a right to privacy, which a lot of scholars think was really just making stuff up. So that is the one opinion that I think could be overturned if we get Gorsuch on the bench.
Neil Gorsuch, likely to be confirmed, but not before Democrats throw a tantrum in a similar way the Republicans did. Not that Republicans don't have this coming based on the weasel Mitch McConnell, but it's just ugly the way Washington continues to be run. Thank you, Karen. Where do you work?
I work at Conti Law, and you can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
It's 6:58. We're back after this. News next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:13, we're excited to be a part of the Warrior Games coming to Chicago this late summer. And joining me in studio is Captain Brent Brining, proud product of Naperville. How many years in the Navy?
27.
You look great.
I feel great.
It's a good life for you. It was that ocean spray washing up against you.
It must be, yes.
Well, Captain, explain what the Warrior Games are.
Well, Warrior Games have been going on since 2010, and this will be the first time that we're coming to Chicago outside of an installation or the Olympic Training Center.
Right.
It's an opportunity for wounded warriors to kind of get their feet back under them and compete in adaptive sports. So it's very similar to what we see in Paralympic sports. The difference being that not only do we focus on those with injuries, we also focus on those that have serious illnesses, post-traumatic stress, cancer survivors, that kind of thing.
And that's part of your world every day.
Every day, yeah. So I've been the director of the Navy Wounded Warrior Program for the last 2.5 years. It's been a great experience, very honoring to me to be able to give back to these folks that have given so much for their nation.
The games will take place when?
June 30th through July 8th, all downtown.
Yeah, that's
here
midsummer.
In Chicago.
I said late summer. That's midsummer.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. Actually, right at the beginning of summer, technically, right? And we're going to be a big part of helping you mouthpiece this because we want great crowds out there to cheer these folks on.
Yeah, we appreciate the support. Any way we can get the word out to get folks excited about these games and coming out, filling the stands and cheering. It's a life-changing experience. It really is for people to come out and see people competing who have disabilities and overcoming.
And amazing athletes. Let me introduce a couple other folks here who are a big part of this. Letitia Tisch Strobes, Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at Fisher House. And good morning to you, Tish. How are you?
Great. Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Okay, if I call you Tish?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'm a big fan of Fisher House, but for folks who don't know, explain what you guys do every day.
Well, thank you for your support. We appreciate it. Fisher House builds comfort homes on medical campuses at VA by VA hospitals or military installations so that when your loved one is in the hospital, the family has a place to stay within walking distance and is able to be there at the bedside when they need it most.
And if you've ever been in a Fisher House facility, it's amazing. And everything's taken care of. You know, all you have to worry about is the person you love who's getting care. So I salute what you guys do every day. And your involvement in the Warrior Games comes from what?
We have been involved actually with the Warrior Games for over 7 years now. And we believe that family is an integral part of healing. So, you know, we were there at the worst of times for these service members and their families, and to be able to be there at the best of times to support them in this incredible journey and triumph is what we're doing.
Hold the line for me 1 second. I want to make sure we can get both of you on the air here without hanging up on you, which is my specialty. But let me bring in here as well William Edwards, International Strategy Specialist from Boeing, one of the global corporate partners. And thank you, Boeing, for doing this. Good morning, William.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much for having us.
And your impetus to be involved outside of the obvious patriotism and, you know, Boeing being a good partner for the military forever?
Well, you know, we're really honored to be a presenting sponsor of the Warrior Games, partnering with the Navy and Fisher House, as well as others, to bring this fantastic, you know, event here to Chicago. You know, whether it's providing first-class capabilities to our warfighters when they're away overseas, or whether it's, you know, supporting first-class organizations and efforts like the Warrior Games when they're here at home, you know, support to the military veteran community is deeply ingrained in who we are as a company, and we really look forward to giving really this incredible group of wounded warriors this great platform to demonstrate their skills, their dedication, and their passion, and you know, to be able to do it here in Chicago, home of our corporate headquarters, and
it's a big deal.
The captain mentioned, yeah, the first time it's not been on a military installation. It's a great opportunity.
Was it a big deal to decide to go to a public place? Because that takes on a whole different set of challenges, Brent.
Yeah, it is. It's been a 2.5 year endeavor in the making. We went out and looked at 7 different locations, looked at some installations, and really Chicago came to the top. It's a Midwest town. I have some affinity, obviously, from growing up here. But we really wanted to be able to touch those 95% of Americans that don't have a connection to the military. And we thought Chicago would be a great place to really bring our message of
sure.
how we support wounded warriors, as well as what does the Department of Defense do on behalf of our nation.
What type of events were you looking at?
So we have 8 athletic events. We got seated volleyball, wheelchair basketball, archery, air rifle, track, field, swimming, and cycling. And we're opening up at Soldier Field, closing ceremonies down at Navy Pier. 60% of the events are the McCormick Convention Center, and then our kind of our premier events are going to be at the United Center for the gold and bronze medal rounds for the
cool.
basketball and
cool.
volleyball.
Great venues, because there's parking too. But
there's parking, yeah.
I would equate watching these to watching a marathon, you know, because you get into it and you start cheering, and it becomes very emotional to be a spectator too.
It does, and the incredible thing that you're going to find is not the people that are crossing the finish line first. 2 years ago in Quantico, we had a 100-yard. It's supposed to be a dash, so most of the athletes are finishing in, you know, 12 to 13 seconds. Because these folks, even though they have disabilities, they've been training, and they're pretty good. There's one British nurse that was a part of that, and she had some musculoskeletal issues. It took her literally 10 minutes, step by agonizing step, to get across that finish line.
Good
and it was just amazing, the swell from the crowd as she got up to that finish line, and the excitement to cheer the last competitor across that line. So it you know, sends shivers down your spine, and this is what the public can expect when they come out to these games. It's just going to be amazing.
Yeah, you'll feel better about who you are and about who we are as a country, and boy, do we need it now. William, going forward with Boeing, I assume you're going to have a big portion of the corporate folks out there with you?
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to try to get, you know, everybody else out that we can. You know, I wanted to chime in and just share something about the impact of organizations and projects like this that I've seen myself, you know, as I'm a cyclist, and I've ridden with veterans who have taken part in the Warrior Games and been part of other programs, and I've seen firsthand the difference that programs like this can make. People who went from multiple suicide attempts, thought they had nothing to live for, to people who became Paralympic national champions, Olympians, gold medalists, people who through projects like this found not just the will to live, but you know, excelled and became the best in the world at what they do. Yeah, it really is inspiring.
And Tish, since you deal with the families all the time, and Fisher House was so family specific here, I assume this means an awful lot to them as well, huh?
Absolutely. And one of the exciting things that we also do is bring family members of the athletes out as well, because as we all know, family serves the military together. And they, too, are on that healing journey, and they are very much a part of the process and the VIPs, just like those athletes are. So to be able to bring them all together and to watch that, like Brent said, this is a life-changing experience, not just for the athletes, their families, who many for the first time you're seeing them come together in incredible ways, but also for those spectators to be there. And we're just incredibly excited that the American people who so generously give to us, they're able to actually be there and experience this firsthand.
By the way, Tish, if people want to contribute to Fisher House, because so many kind people help keep Fisher House in business every single day and help more homes be built and more people be supported, what can you do?
They can go to our website at fisherhouse.org. We have a donate button there. Would greatly appreciate the support. And just in case people don't know, there is actually a Fisher House at the Heinz VA here locally in the Chicago area. And they will also be a part of the game. So we're excited that a lot of our managers are going to be coming out to celebrate this as well.
And I would argue the best VA in the country. You know, there's been a lot of negative talk about the VA. Heinz VA seems to be getting it done and getting it done right.
They do indeed.
Tish, thank you. And William, thank you. And thanks to everybody at Boeing. Captain, stick around. I want to talk to you more in just a second about what you do every day and some of the folks you deal with and tell a few success stories, too.
Absolutely.
More with Captain Brent Brining in the Warrior Games just a second. Let's do the seventh caller. That's how easy it's going to be. I have Chicago Blackhawks tickets courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. And we'll do the seventh caller at 312-981-7200 to win tickets to see the Hawks in Edmonton Saturday, February 18th. You're entered to win Four Season tickets for next year. And Ro will have tickets to give away as well coming up later on after 3. And don't forget to see Four Seasons, or you should say, don't forget to see Four Seasons website. How about that? FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. It's not my first day. Congratulations in advance. We'll get the seventh caller in just a second. Captain Brent Brining is here. If you just turned your radio on, the Warrior Games are coming to Chicago, and it's a chance to see wounded warriors of all types competing in athletic events. Not just for your entertainment, but for their success stories in life, of which you've seen many as part of your daily job, right?
Yes, yeah, that's probably the most inspiring thing that I get to experience.
Talk to me about PTSD. For a long time, we didn't recognize it at all. I think we've gotten better. Where do you think we are as a country?
Well, I think we've made a lot of inroads. Unfortunately, warfare has a lot of bad things that come out of it, but I think that a lot of good that's come out of this last 10 years of conflict is the medical advances and diagnosing post-traumatic stress, both in combat, but also to the greater community, too, because you can get PTS from multiple events. It doesn't have to be combat-related, but we're getting a lot better in that regard.
Safe Harbor deals with PTS all the time, right?
Yeah, we do. About 30% of our population is enrolled for post-traumatic stress.
Is the Pentagon and the government in general giving you enough resources to work with for what you need to do?
I think the overall resource allocation is good. I think especially on the behavioral health side, both the Pentagon's health services as well as the VA, it's challenging to find enough clinicians to treat the total number of population size. So. It's a challenge.
It could always be better.
It can always be better, but they got the right people helping out.
President Trump made a campaign commitment throughout to take better care of vets. Has there been any quantitative talk of what that means yet?
I haven't heard any. So we'll see what the president has in mind. Yep. So any more resources that he can direct our way, you know, is much appreciated in that regard.
You talk about 30% of the work being PTS and PTSD. What is the 70%, the safe harbor that we don't know?
Right. So about half of them are injuries. So anything from combat wounds to motor vehicular accidents, motorcycle accidents, that kind of thing. And the other half are the illnesses. So we talked about PTS, but also a lot of cancer survivors are thrown in there. So
sure.
Late diagnosis of cancer, 30, 40-year-olds coming down with it.
If someone is listening and they either want to participate or be a part of it or even just somehow get involved, what do they do?
Yeah, absolutely. So go to DODWarriorGames.com. It's got all the information there. There's opportunities for sponsorship. So we really appreciate the Boeing Company and the Fisher House Foundation as presenting sponsors. We're looking to fill out our sponsorship tiers. So a good portion, half of the money is coming from DOD money, but we're also, because we're coming outside the gates of an installation, we have more costs. So we're looking for commercial sponsors to come alongside us. Also following us on social media, Twitter, Facebook. Get those likes in there so that people start following what's going on.
And also we want to salute the mayor's office and the mayor's office at special events. We understand they've worked really hard to make this as easy as possible, right?
Yes. Victor Lagrune, who's the mayor's Veterans Affairs rep, has been fantastic in getting this set up. He was a big impetus about bringing this event to the city, getting us connected with all the city's resources. So we really appreciate their support in making this thing happen.
Captain Brent Brining, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I think you might make a career of this if you stick with it.
I think so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And anybody in Naperville owe you money or anything? It's been a while.
It's been a while. I think I've forgotten.
You're okay. You've erased all those debts?
Absolutely.
I know we'll see you quite a bit as we lead up to this, but it's going to be a lot of work between now and then, and we appreciate your work as well and your team. But again, we'll remind everybody, DODWarriorGames.com has all the information you need to get involved on all different levels.
Absolutely. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Captain. All right, 732. Donna from Elgin. Is that accurate? Donna from Elgin just won the Blackhawks tickets, courtesy of Four Seasons. We'll come back and get the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
Elise Glink on your money in just a second. Oh, speaking of money, John DeCosta and I have a show coming up.
Wow, that was good.
Well, the reason I mention money is because it doesn't cost much to come in and laugh.
Oh,
see what I did there?
Yeah.
See this happening?
That was a good turn. Yeah, I like that.
Metropolis Theater.
Metropolis Theater.
Arlington Heights.
Yes.
I love that theater.
It's a
great
beautiful
little theater.
It's gorgeous. Not a bad seat.
And there's only like 300 seats, so it'll sell out pretty quickly. So get your tickets, and where do you do that?
You can go to metropolisarts.com, or you can call the box office directly at 847-577-2121, and that is Saturday, April 8th at 7:30. Come and see our very special guest, Andrea Darlos, do stand-up again.
Wait, I better write that date down. What is that date?
April 8th. It's 2 days before you go out of town.
Okay, I'll see if I can do that. I think I can do that.
MetropolisArts.com?
Yes, MetropolisArts.com.
You understand you should be nervous.
I'm very nervous.
Oh, okay.
Well, now I'm even more nervous.
Well, but you should be.
What did I call it? It was terrifyingly exciting.
No, you said I have to headline. That's all.
No,
I
didn't.
Yeah.
I got to close this.
Yes. Yeah. We were surprised at how cocky you were about
that. Yeah, we
got
to talk about the limo, too. You know,
we could talk. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. We can talk all you want about that.
Green room. Because I didn't have a green room last time.
Yeah, we'll talk about the green room, too.
At 7:45, just ahead of traffic, somebody want to tell us about Grandview Homes here? Does anyone have a message they'd like to share? Oh, this segment is brought by Grandview Homes. I see. Grandview Homes brings us this segment with Elise Glink, who's standing by right now. All right, since the Supreme Court nominee was named last night, I assume the markets are up. What?
Oh,
doesn't have any effect on the market.
Thankfully, we have 45 minutes until they open today. We'll see what happens. It's been very interesting. This week, I've spoken to a bunch of CEOs, and the topic of conversation is, how do you respond to Trump while still not tanking your stock and putting a big target on your back? And it's a very unusual position for companies to be in, which normally lean Republican, and here we are in a whole new world.
The fallout from the immigration executive order this weekend is significant, obviously. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who have made a lot of money since Trump became president. And And no slouch in that game. Warren Buffett said he bought $15 billion in stock. So how do these companies, and yeah, exactly. How do these companies, how do people balance that off?
Well, it's pretty serious because the risk has never been higher for speaking out against something that's political. And, you know, company CEOs tend to be, mealy-mouthed is the wrong kind of a phrase for that, but they tend to be pretty mild-mannered when it comes to anything political. Because really they know that, you know, for example, any of the big companies that have started to criticize Trump's travel ban, Ford, guess what? Republicans and Democrats buy, you know, Ford cars. Google, Facebook, Tesla, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan. I mean, these are some of the biggest companies in the country, if not the world. And so they know that, people on all sides of the aisle are buying their products and services. So when they choose to speak out, you're naturally angering a large chunk of people who you do business with. So these are this is what passes for extremely risky. Just in general, before Trump came in, anything in the political realm can really move the stock market, and calling out a company can particularly do that. So now you get Trump where everything's on steroids.
And steroids can cost you money.
Well, it costs you serious money. So think about, we had Target, and this was just an early insight into what could happen. And remember North Carolina and the transgender bathroom law and the kerfuffle about that? Target CEO just decided to come out. Remember, he said, listen, I don't really care where people go to the bathroom.
Pee anywhere you want to pee, but not in aisle 7.
Exactly. And so what happened? Their stock fell like 4 to 5%. And Trump actually said right after that, I don't care where people pee, right? That was like one of the things that everybody's like, oh, maybe he's more moderate than we thought. And yet Target actually put a target on its own back, and their stock took a big hit. And companies have taken notice of that. So who wants to be the one that now gets called out in these crazy tweet storms? And so that's what companies are starting to talk about. So this week in Chicago, yesterday I was sitting with a group of CEOs in the city, and they were calling in from other things. And we were talking a little bit about the situation, and they were being really thoughtful. They're trying very hard to weigh what it is they're going to say and when, knowing that there's the other chunk of people in their company that are dying for them to do something. And they have employees that are caught all over the world.
Yeah, and, you know, Google is big enough to come out and say things and not be destroyed by it. But if you're a large company, and I mean a significantly large company, you still have to be quite careful because you got to take care of your people while you're taking care of your people. And the moral imperative to do the right thing may not be as important as the financial imperative on a Tuesday, and then maybe it changes tomorrow.
Well, the stock market is a very powerful, powerful weapon that works for and against companies. So Apple today was announced that Apple is considering legal action against Trump's administration immigration ban, and matching employee donations who are going to support it. So there's the other issue, which is internally to these huge companies, they have 100,000 people plus working for them, 200,000, 300,000 in some cases. And the employees themselves are up in arms about this. Some of them are split in half, right, which is worse because you don't know what to do. And then some of them are appalled that their corporate leadership isn't doing more to lead the way. So this is creating another level of conflict for companies.
Is Trump savvy enough to know that he's holding this over the heads of businesses?
Absolutely. 100%. I'm sure he thinks about that in the middle of the night, how I can take people down. But I almost it comes so naturally to him. You know, just right off the top of his head, you know, live radio talk show host. You're not really thinking ahead of time when you're saying things. It just kind of comes at you.
Oh, what are you talking about? I'm very careful. Every word is measured.
It is.
Yes.
But not for maybe Trump. So interesting to watch how this is going to play out, but how our own CEOs in Chicago and then in the country are going to either come behind or not. So the list of companies that is, you know, there was a flurry 2 days ago of CEOs calling each other, asking how they were going to sort of band together. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because I think that there's power in numbers, and they recognize this. So behind the scenes channeling, the discussions are going on. How are we going to handle this now that we're, oh, say, 13 days into this administration? And I think if company CEOs can find a way to band together over this, it could be more powerful.
We'll take a break for traffic, come back. Hang on a second, because there probably are some whiny staff questions, and I want to get Andrea in here to ask you about this as well if she's got other questions. Oh, she might have a whiny staff question. I don't know. Stand by for that. Texters as well at 312-981-7200. ThinkGlink.com for all your financial stuff. Couple minutes left with Elise Glink. Andrea, say hi to Elise.
Hey, Elise. A question for you about the Trump-Theresa May meeting. So I guess first meeting that he's had as president, that day they seem to be on the same page. The day after, when the immigration ban went into effect, they were on different pages. Why are these differences, why do they affect the market? And is this going to be kind of a dangerous precedent going forward now, just knowing the volatility that we've witnessed so far?
So to answer your question, I'll talk about something else, which is the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve is wrapping up its first meeting of the year, and they're expected to leave interest rates unchanged. They meet, I think it's six times a year. And even though we've already heard from the Federal Reserve that they think that they're going to raise interest rates at least a couple of times this year, they're trying to figure out what the impact is going to be of this administration. They have no idea. And I think this kind of back and forth between Trump and foreign leaders is exactly what you're going to expect, just the way you're getting this kind of back and forth flip-flopping, I hesitate to say, between Trump and his own advisors, some of whom sound one way one day and then 5 minutes later the next. And so maybe we're all going to get a really bad case of whiplash. That sort of thing is horrible for the market, and you're going to see that uncertainty continue to filter as the market can't. The market is all about predicting what's going to happen, and I don't think anybody has any idea what's going to happen here. So business is really happy with the Trump administration when they say things like, you know, America first, and we're not going to, what else are they saying? They're saying, oh, the regulation thing. If you want a new regulation, Congress, you're going to have to take two off the table, and we're going to gut certain laws that have been.
Well, that's the biggest piece of this. This is why businesses have made so much money since then, because Trump said he's going to kill regulations as much as possible so that money will flow more freely.
Right, except that what does that really mean? Because then the next day you heard that's completely illegal and Trump can't decide that by executive action.
No, that's a congressional
thing. And that would require rules and regulations. They don't understand the political process. So now you've got the market going, yeah, and then whoops. So that back and forth is going to play out, and I think we're seeing that with his early meetings with and phone calls with foreign leaders.
But Buffett throwing $15 billion at it, he doesn't throw money into the street. He must have some measure of confidence.
Well, I think that he thinks that solid numbers will always out. So I don't know what he's buying. I haven't looked into it. But
Chiclets, mostly Chiclets.
Chiclets. What would be interesting, Buffett doesn't buy and sell particularly often, right? So
right.
He was looking at things I think that he thinks are going to be good picks for maybe the very long run.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've seen in this last run-up with the stock market is that it's not been sprinkled evenly over all kinds of companies. There are certain sectors that have done much better than other sectors. And I would bet that Buffett is buying some of the things that haven't done well, but he thinks that this administration will be good for him. He's pretty smart, so if he could find out what he's buying, I would buy some.
Boy, you got like an 86-year-old guy that goes for the long play.
Yeah. He said I want to go see his, I want to see on HBO his new documentary about his life that's come out, because it shows sort of the man behind the money, so to speak. And he himself said it's a very honest picture of him.
Yeah. He determines which McDonald's breakfast he's going to have every morning based on how things are feeling financially that day, varying in price from $2 to $3.50. I'm not kidding.
You know, it's interesting that he's actually been eating McDonald's for at least the last, 40 years of his life.
Yeah, he's 86.
And he's doing fine. Maybe the key is you only eat one meal a day there, not all your meals.
Maybe the key is McDonald's.
Mm. Mm.
Look at Ronald McDonald. He looks healthy, except for the gout and the feet. Those feet are huge. Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. We're out of time for whiny staff questions. I'll have to call you at home.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks. And we're back with Dean and the news and the other stuff. As we're at halftime for the show, the band will be out to form something on the field in just seconds. Thanks for listening to Steve Cochran live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
8:14, Dean will join us in just a second. Johnny Depp is apparently going broke, and it doesn't have anything to do with his divorce from Amber Heard. It has everything to do with the fact that he wastes a lot of money, including spending $30,000 a month on wine.
Didn't he buy an island? Remember that? He bought an entire island, uninhabited, but he bought like this giant island for $1 billion or something.
$30,000 a month on wine. I mean, that's Dave Ennett kind of wine expenditures.
Go Cats.
It's a little low.
Or expenditures.
What about his ex-wife? He's got to pay her a lot, I'm sure.
No, I just said to Amber Heard, it's not part of it.
Really?
No. Because that was a cash payout. That baby's over.
Wow.
Done. Done. D-O-N-E, Dean, done.
Poor Johnny Depp.
Get off his back.
Yeah.
He made $55 million for one movie.
He's an idiot.
He can buy an island if he wants to.
What are you giving me a hard time for? I'm telling you what the financial advisor said. The financial advisor said he's about to go broke.
Yeah.
I love Dean.
What else did he buy?
So he enjoys a little wine.
That's the Boyle that. Household wine budget is about that.
Yeah, that's what I said when I read that.
Why don't
you and
Dave Ennett?
30 grand sounds about right to me.
Why don't you, Dave Ennett, and Dean get together and buy your wine together? You might get a discount.
Oh, okay,
that's a good idea. Yeah.
Now I get mine at Trader Joe's, so I get. You can't imagine how much I get.
So you're getting the expensive
stuff.
Two million cases of two buck chuck.
I don't like to drink anything less than like an $18 bottle.
Ooh.
What? Yeah. I really don't.
No, you're right. It's like drinking vinegar. Once you become accustomed to drinking good wine, you can't go cheap anymore.
And I don't drink a ton of it. So
I'm the same
like
way with bottled water.
See,
I cannot have plain labeled bottled water.
Oh, the cheap red blends are good.
They're awful. It tastes like vinegar.
Yeah,
they
do. No, they do.
You get on me all the time. Listen to this conversation around us.
I had no idea Sandberg was an alcoholic. News to me.
I say after
my
a couple,
husband turned me on to the wine. So
first couple of glasses, really nice quality. After that, you're not going to remember anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you don't know the taste after. That's exactly.
It's
right.
Like cough medicine. You know, right. Once you take the first spoonful, the second one's easier.
Matter. It doesn't make any difference.
It is true, though. Once you drink a nice bottle of wine, or you're in a wine club, you can't go cheap anymore. It just tastes like. Ugh.
Pardon me, Lovey Thurston.
I know,
Howell.
Sorry.
Thurston Howell's wife.
Hey, speaking of high end wines, did you hear Hooters is doing a spinoff restaurant
called
Hoots?
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be scantily clad men and women.
So, what's the hoot of? Do I even want to ask this?
No, there's no. There's
well, Hooters.
No,
you know what that refers to?
No,
I don't.
Yes, you guys do.
No, I don't know.
You know.
Tell
Dave,
me,
what does it refer to?
Andrea, tell me.
What is it, Dave? What does it refer to?
Owls.
Owls? I've never seen owls there. Or do they serve them?
I think they're on the menu.
Yeah. Can we use our gift card at the new Hoots?
After the show, you can, baby.
Is it just called Hoot or Hoots?
Hoots. Hoots. Like a good time.
H-O-O-T-S.
I would assume that's what they mean. You know, it's like a good time. And I know when I go out, I want to see some guy in 70s gym shorts. That's a good time for me.
And a tube sock.
Steve, the female and male servers at Hoots will not be wearing revealing clothing.
Oh, they won't.
It's going to be a more casual restaurant.
What, the napping stations? What do you mean more casual?
Or it's going to be more casual. There will not be an emphasis on hubba hubba. It won't be a restaurant, if you will.
Oh, yeah,
it won't objectify. Good.
And the first one's going to open in Cicero in February.
Well, of course it will.
This month.
Yeah. But Cicero fine dining since yesterday. I'm looking at the Hooters website here, and it says the theme is scantily clad owls. So it's owls and tight T-shirts. So just so we're clear.
That's a whole bunch of protests. PETA.
Dean, over. Groups. Are you there?
Is this the same place? Hoot's Ultimate Party Zone in Albuquerque, the original inflatable fun zone offering the best at birthday parties. I don't think that's the same place.
I like the inflatable part.
It's Dave's backyard.
I think I got the wrong place.
Dave's having one of his spells again. Let's get him his meds.
Yeah, after the show, we're going to go to the inflatable fun zone.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right one.
All right, Dean, coming up, you might want to make a note of this. Pharrell has triplets.
What?
Yeah. Stars are skipping the Grammys. And what are the... the band quit early. And what are the favorite dog movies of all time? That's just some of the things, Dean, you'll be
talking
about.
That's something that I want you to think about. What are your favorite dog movies of all time? Because that's I'm presenting that on TV today, my favorite dog movies of all time. I have my favorites. Steve, maybe you have some of yours. Maybe some of the listeners might have their choices.
Here's one, Google. Oh, no, wait. Google's what I'm going to use to figure out what are my favorites.
Favorite dog movies of all time.
All right. Text in your favorite dog movies of all time because Dean's trying to get the feature done.
So I have no content today.
312-981-7200. We'll be back in a moment with the award-winning Dean segment on the Steve Cochran Show.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Oh, 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 oh. All right, I haven't checked the texters yet, but here's a couple off the top of my head. And by that, I mean I Googled them. You got a pending?
I'm writing it down.
Shaggy D.A.
Shaggy D.A. It's a good one.
Quality one. Annie.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that
Forgot,
one.
Yeah.
My Dog Skip.
You made that one up, I think.
No, it's a movie. My Dog Skip.
Yeah. My Dog Skip.
Oh, I remember that one. That was a good one.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
That you made up.
No, it's a movie.
Is it really?
Sadly, that's a real one.
Oh, God.
One.
Yeah, that's a movie.
And, of course, a wonderful movie. It's, you know, it's a little immature, but I'm a little immature. I still like to watch it with the kids. Cujo.
No.
Oh, yeah. Good dog movie.
I was looking at clips of Cujo this morning. I was going to show it on TV because I don't remember it being as massively, disturbingly violent as it is. It's
awful.
It's unbelievably scary.
Yeah, I never watched it all.
Super scary.
How about Turner and Hooch?
One of my favorites. That's on my list of absolute favorites.
Benji?
Benji's cute.
Do you know there were 8 Benji movies? And you say I didn't do any research.
Was it all the same Benji?
I like the song from that movie. Benji, the two of us need look no more. Remember that? That was a good one.
How did it go again?
We both found what we were looking for.
I'm sorry, Radioland. Make it stop. How about Lady and the Tramp? Not you, no, not you, not you and Dean.
101 Dalmatians.
Sorry, Dean.
Both on my list.
I prefer 102 Dalmatians. Actually, I thought the sequel was tremendous.
Had a much better movie arc, storyline, plot.
White Fang.
I think you made that up. Also,
no, that is real.
White Fang.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the box for the video that they used to have.
Yeah, that was real.
The courage and love cannot be equaled. White Fang.
Does anyone remember Homeward Bound?
Oh, I was just going to say that. That was my favorite with Chance. Wasn't Chance one of the dogs?
The rapper?
No. Chance the dog.
That would have been a better move.
Michael J. Fox played him.
Bark, ruffa, ruffa. Bark, ruffa, ruffa. Bark, ruffa, ruffa.
It's these three dogs. Most of these dog movies are designed to make you cry. Well,
John's got a theory, and I agree with it. You can't pick a dog movie that what?
That I don't want a dog movie where the dog dies at the end.
Yeah, I agree. Or any point in a movie.
Yeah, I mean, Lassie Come Home is my favorite.
Lassie Come Home, it's
Lassie
a good one.
Lassie Came Home.
Remember Lassie opened a meth lab? I didn't like that one.
That was not as good.
Yeah. Marley and Me, sad ending.
Yes, yeah. Benji Runs for President, wins, sad ending.
Old Yeller. Oh, wait, that's Benji Runs for President.
Wait, don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Old Yeller. Yes. Old Yeller, the dog not only does the dog die, the dog is shot.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Well, but it's a gun battle.
He gets
it's
the rabies.
It's a gun battle between the dog and the family.
He gets the rabies.
It's a gang battle. Rabies. It's a gang battle.
He doesn't get rabies, he gets the rabies.
It's the rabies.
He's a Chicago dog.
Here's one where the dogs don't die, and actually is my favorite dog movie, Best in Show.
Yeah, same here.
Mine too.
We agree.
Yeah,
yeah,
same. Best one, yep.
Here's a few more from the listeners. Snow Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Was that Cuba Gooding?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was, yes.
Hatchie. I don't know what Hatchie is. What's Hatchie?
Hatchie?
I never saw that.
Oh, I did see this with Richard Gere.
Hatchie's a bad name for a dog.
It's really sad if you don't like...
Oh, that's the one that he dies. Oh, the dog stays around. Oh, no.
What about Shane?
Shane?
Come back, Shane.
Shane's not a dog.
It's not a dog.
The listeners, I don't know.
Oh, wait, it is.
Beethoven.
Beethoven with Charles Grodin.
The Ugly Dachshund. It's about a car.
It's about a car. Yeah. It's a Japanese car movie.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Remember that one?
Air Bud.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Ground Bud? That's not a movie.
Wasn't Jim Belushi in a dog movie, Canine?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. Oh, God, that's right, yeah.
I just said it was good.
Dude, where's my car? The dog took it? Wait, that's not it. Listeners, come on. Ishtar's not a dog movie.
That was just a dog of a movie.
Bad movie.
These are all suggestions by the listeners.
Yeah. That's all good.
Lady and the Whore? What? That can't be right. That's not the title.
It's the updated version.
These are all wrong.
Leading the
Tramp. Anyway, Dean's. That should be a pretty good list for you. We've pretty much finished your segment.
That's a good list.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You've pretty much done all my research.
So Andre did some research on what Johnny Depp's spending money on. It was $30,000 a month on wine, $100,000 a month on personal security.
Oh, he needs that.
What else is on the list?
$3 million to shoot Hunter S. Thompson's ashes out of a cannon.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
What?
$3 million.
He took his ashes when he died.
Yeah,
he was cremated, and then they put his ashes in with fireworks, and they had a big fireworks display.
So he had to pay for the whole show.
He paid for the whole fireworks.
Now I know they need. I know a lot of celebrities need security too. $150,000 a month for 24-hour round the clock.
Oh, that is 100. Yeah. 150.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, if you have to be around reporters like me, you want security around you all the time. You can't go without security.
$200,000 to have all the green M&Ms removed. Okay, that's interesting.
From his teeth.
Oh God.
Yeah, what does he spend on clothes at the Salvation Army?
Jewelry.
Whatever he spends in wine, he makes up for in clothing. It's racks. Literally, I asked him one time, I said, "Who dresses you?" He said, "Oh, I let my kids decide what I'm going to wear."
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Hey, congratulations to Pharrell.
He's his family size instantly doubled. His wife had triplets. So that we don't know genders, we don't know names. We know that his previous child, a son, mm-hmm. is named Rocket. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that the other kids get, are named like Bullwinkle, Boris, Natasha.
Hopefully it's not Murel and Purell.
Yeah, something that rhymes.
Yeah,
Purell would be a great
Purell Pharrell.
Would
be, yeah.
Purell Pharrell.
Well, his last name is Williams, but
whatever.
Purell Williams, that's a good name.
You could call him John Williams.
John Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's been taken. Stars skipping the Grammys.
You're going to be heartbroken when you hear this. Justin Bieber has decided that he will not be able to come to the Grammys. He's mad. Because he doesn't think the Grammys are relevant anymore and does not accurately represent the best artist when it comes to young musicians, even though he's nominated in several categories.
I couldn't agree with... I would like all of my art judged by Justin Bieber. I think Justin Bieber is the absolute barometer of artistic taste.
I would like him to be Secretary of State.
I like him to be Secretary
of
Art.
He's Canadian. He can't be, I guess. But yeah. I don't know. Can a Canadian be Secretary of State?
It's Trump. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
Because Madeleine Albright was not American-born.
Who?
That's right. She was Martian.
No, she was not Martian.
Okay. And finally, congratulations to Dean Richards, a big award winner.
How's that?
You're a big award winner.
Am I?
Yeah, you're a big award winner. You're a big award winner?
I'm going to have to look this up. Wait a minute. No.
Over the past two decades, can I read this? Or is it okay if I read this?
Sure.
This okay?
Yeah, sure.
Over the past two decades, the name Dean Richards has become synonymous with excellence in Chicago broadcasting.
Lies. Oh,
apparently nobody proofread
Lies.
This.
Fake media. False media.
This should have been proofread.
Is that an alternative fact?
Your iconic work as an entertainment reporter is an integral part of life in the city. Your work in front of the camera and behind it stands as a testament to the kind of creative energy Chicago is best known for.
Wrong.
I agree with all of that.
Wrong.
No, I agree with all of that. Because of your many outstanding accomplishments and unparalleled work in the television industry, it's our privilege to honor you. Do you even know about this, by the way?
I do.
With the
I didn't know that you knew about it.
The 2017 Chicago International Television Festival Chicago Award.
Ooh.
How about that?
Chicago Film Festival gives these awards out.
The Chicago Award will be presented to the 53rd Chicago International Television Festival Awards on March 23rd. At the AMC River East 21 at 7:30, you will not get a discount on popcorn.
Right before a showing of A Dog's Purpose.
In addition to saying a few words, we'd be honored to have you join us at the reception in your honor before the ceremony.
You know I'll be at the reception.
Right. Please slur feel
my
free
way
to
through
call
another
me.
Award
this
ceremony.
Is Michael Kutza. Is that his name, Kutza? Michael Kutza, founder and artistic director of the Chicago International Film Festival. I have Dean, I have Michael's cell phone if you need it.
Let's call him. I'd be curious to see what his favorite dog movies are.
You want to know what his criteria was for picking you?
No.
For the award?
No.
Hey, congratulations, man. It's a very nice award.
Oh, that's very nice.
Very well deserved, Dean.
Yeah, thank very you. Nice. Very thanks. Nice. Congratulations.
Very nice.
I like any award that has Chicago in it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and where we can drink at a reception before and
I do
after
like
the
that part also. So I do enjoy that.
All right, so here's Dean, and that's you, and that's me, and we're back with the big story coming up. Good luck, and congratulations on your award. Talk to you later.
Godspeed.
Big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
This may be the most transparent judicial selection process in history. Months ago, as a candidate, I publicly presented a list.
There is one more rose left, and I don't know who it's going to be.
Millions of voters said this was the single most important issue to them.
I would hope to God that I get a rose tonight.
I am a man of my word. I will do as I say.
I have no idea what's in his head.
Something that the American people have been asking for from Washington for a very, very long time.
It would suck if I went home on the first night just because he didn't really get a chance to get to know me.
Today, I am keeping another promise to the American people by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch of the United States Supreme Court to be of the United States Supreme Court.
Will you accept this rose?
Mr. President, thank you very much.
I'm confused. Was he already on the court?
He misspoke.
Of course he did.
His current title.
A tale of 2 days yesterday for President Trump, and I would argue that the people he has surrounded himself with aren't helping. We'll get to a tale of 2 days in a second, but let's start with last night first, and then we'll jump to traffic. The reunion of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert on The Late Show on CBS. Here's that.
I, Donald J. Lincoln Kennedy Trump III, do pronounce America now finally has an official language. The new official language of the United States is bull. And by the way, none of that. Sure, I'll speak bull at work, but at home I'm going to use facts and real information. No. Bull all the time. Immersion, it's the only way to be fluent. I, Donald J. Trump, am exhausting because it is going to take relentless stamina, vigilance, and every institutional check and balance this great country can muster to keep me from going full Palpatine. With the lightning coming out of the fingertips and the fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate. We have never faced this before. Purposeful, vindictive chaos. But perhaps therein lies the saving grace of my Donald J. Trump's presidency. No one action will be adequate. All actions will be necessary. And if we do not allow Donald Trump to exhaust our fight and somehow come through this presidency calamityless and constitutionally partially intact, then I, Donald J. Trump, will have demonstrated the greatness of America, just not the way I thought I was gonna.
Jon Stewart in full Trump wig last night on the Stephen Colbert situation. We'll come back, play you some sound from yesterday that shows you it was a tale of 2 days for the Trumpster. And yes, Neil Gorsuch got the roast. Mary's here with you. Traffic.
Not too bad on the Edens anymore. The inbound side of the Kennedys down to 46 from O'Hare and 38 from the Edens with no outbound delays. Outbound Eisenhower just slow into first. Inbound is an hour 10 from 53 and about 55 from Mannheim. Stevenson's at 44 from 294. The Ryan's 22 from 95th. Not bad on the Bishop Ford 57. Lakeshore Drive, though, is heavy from Lawrence to Belmont. Traffic sponsored by McDonald's. Get a premium cup of coffee without the premium price. Enjoy dollar any size McCafe coffee brewed rich every 30 minutes all day long. Only at your local McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Limited time only. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Pre-approved by Acunet Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeville, WGN Traffic Central.
Tonight,
Chicago's Big Ten team.
Winners of six in a row, the Northwestern Wildcats hit the road to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. The pregame at 7:05, the tip at 7:30.
Hear red hot Wildcat basketball on 720 WGN on your smartphone on the WGN Radio app and streaming live at WGNRadio.com.
Are you tired of not seeing long-term results with trendy fad diets? Well, if you are, Seattle Sutton's is here to help. Since 1985, Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating has been the best choice for healthy eating. And Chicago, your best choice just got even better. That's right. Seattle Sutton's now offers delivery directly to your door. Lose the hassle of planning, shopping, and cooking, and discover freshly prepared, delicious, healthy meals. And with new menu items, the choice has never been easier. Lose weight without sacrificing taste, freshness, or variety. With no contracts to sign, what could be easier? Why wait? Visit SeattleSutton.com, that's SeattleSutton.com, or call 800-442-DIET, that's 800-442-3438. It's your life, your health. Take control. Visit SeattleSutton.com.
If you're looking for a special Valentine's gift for that special someone, give them the youthful look of Ovation Cell Therapy. I'm Kristen Decker of WGN Radio, and I highly recommend giving your loved one the Valentine's Day gift set. You get Ovation's Volume Therapy Shampoo, the must-have Ovation Cell Therapy treatment, moisturizing conditioner, luxurious whipped hair mousse, and Ovation Hair Accessory Set, all specially priced to save 50% off the retail value. Log on to ovationhair.com and see for yourself. Beautiful, healthy hair, thicker, stronger, longer hair in 2017. Ovation is the gift they'll use again and again. Ovation works on all hair types, so if you're not satisfied, you'll receive a full refund. Go to ovationhair.com and remember to choose WGN Radio at checkout to receive an introductory discount. That's ovationhair.com and WGN Radio at checkout.
Grandview Buys Homes. Do you have a home you'd like to sell today fast and easy? Grandview Homes will buy your home stress and hassle free. And in addition to that, Grandview has no need for you to do any repairs, not even any cleanup. Grandview Buys Homes in any condition. You pay no commissions and no closing costs. As a matter of fact, it's hassle free. You're not going to deal with realtors. There's no inspections. It's the fastest and easiest way to sell your home. Call them today for a no-obligation fair cash offer in 24 hours. And when you do, know that Grandview is ready to take control of your home and give you the cash, and they can both be on their way, you and Grandview. Take the items you want to leave and leave the stress and the mess behind for Grandview to deal with, because Grandview buys homes. Call the name you can trust, Grandview Homes, 888-345-BUY-HOMES. That's 888-345-BUY-HOMES. GrandviewHomes.com is the website. Donald Trump had two really separate days yesterday. One started out maybe earlier in the day, not so good, but he recovered pretty well, I have to say. Let's start with Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper was addressing the fact that Sean Spicer shouldn't be criticizing Jonathan Carl or anybody else for using the word ban, because he did. Here's Tapper on his show on at CNN.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer was complaining that members of the media are unfairly using the term ban to describe the president's action.
He's also made very clear that this is not a Muslim ban. It's not a travel ban.
Not a ban. Okay. But I could have sworn I heard somebody in the Trump administration using the term ban before. Was it possibly President Trump on Twitter? Quote, if the ban were announced with a one-week notice, the bad would rush into our country during that week. A lot of bad dudes out there.
He's using the words that the media is using.
It seems odd, though, right? If you object to the term, you shouldn't use it, right?
It's a 90-day ban to ensure that we have further vetting restrictions.
Okay, but to be fair, that was Sean Spicer on Sunday. Surely he has not used the term ban since then, such as, I don't know, last night when he spoke at George Washington University.
Let me just walk through the TikTok. One, the ban deals with seven countries that the Obama administration had previously identified as needing further travel restrictions.
Okay, everybody clear now? Nobody should follow the lead of the biased media and call the executive action a ban. Follow the lead of the White House and call it a ban.
Right?
Also yesterday, Senator Durbin got very fired up talking about how this isn't just damaging domestically, this is damaging around the world when it comes to this executive order on refugees. Here's the senator.
Disgraceful. The language that was used during the campaign by candidate Donald Trump when it came to refugees. Disgraceful. I met with these Syrian refugee families, and many have. I welcome those who are critical of them to take a few minutes and meet them and hear their stories. And you will come to realize what is at stake here. It is our reputation in the world. And when President Donald Trump offers these executive orders, authored by Senator Sessions, former staffers, of course we have questions, and we should.
But things turned around. Last night on The Apprentice, the Supreme Court edition, when Donald Trump came out to talk about the guy that he was going to name as the next Supreme Court nominee.
When he was nominated to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, he was confirmed by the Senate unanimously. Also, that's unanimous. Can you believe that nowadays with what's going on? Yeah. Does that happen anymore? Does it happen? I think it's going to happen maybe again.
And Neil Gorsuch himself, when he was introduced, spoke. And I got to tell you, he sounds reasonable and decent and sounds like he could do the job. We'll see if he passes, but this sounds like a guy that everybody ought to be able to get behind.
In our legal order, it is for Congress and not the courts to write new laws. It is the role of judges to apply, not alter, the work of the people's representatives. A judge who likes every outcome he reaches is very likely a bad judge, stretching for results he prefers rather than those the law demands.
There you go. A guy that seems very reasonable. Now, based on the fact that that weasel, Mitch McConnell, held up and never even took a meeting on Merrick Garland, President Obama's pick, and essentially stole the pick from the Democrats, it'll be interesting to see how the Democrats respond here. The right thing to do and the unifying thing to do would be for the Democrats to be the grown-ups in the room and take a fair meeting and a fair vote on Gorsuch. Of course, we are talking about Washington. And the idea that the Democrats would be any more grown up than Republicans is just flat ridiculous. So expect the arguing to continue. Expect the fighting to continue. But I got to tell you, Trump recovered from a bad day. His Twitter feed is clean today. Maybe he's going to be a good president.
Steve, it's 9 a.m. Please.
Give it to him.
As far as the Twitter goes.
Give it to him.
Yeah.
8:57, the Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues, and CLTV joins us next. Pay attention, we're going to have a CLTV-only contest next hour, and it involves my hat.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's a guy who comes right to your workplace. He keeps a fake mustache inside his briefcase. But everyone he meets all know there ain't no cover for him to blow. They all just pray he won't be back tomorrow.
Who is it?
Undercover John. Undercover John. A damage cause they will remember as they try to forget your name.
Nothing like Undercover Boss on CBS, regardless of the lawsuit. This is Undercover John, where John goes out and he works for someone, a listener of the show. And this time it's a place called Auto Showcase, which is located where?
In Carroll Stream.
And this is a place where they sell used cars?
It's used cars, upper end used cars, but it's a beautiful place. It's right on the corner of Schmalley and North Avenue, Auto Showcase in Carroll Stream.
Okay, and who are some of the people that we should shout out?
Oh, wow. John Beccaro, one of the owners. Mike Beccaro, Mike Jr. Beccaro. Jimmy.
Anyone there not named Beccaro?
I just changed my name to Beccaro.
Oh, okay. I know Jimmy. I'm probably related to him.
Actually, the gentleman we will be talking to today, Miles Fogel, who helped me walk around and did different things. So it was a lot of fun.
Did you sell cars or fix cars?
Well, here's the thing, and I know we've been kidding around, and it's so, very limited as what they will allow me to do. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, you always ask what I learned. This was actually kind of neat because their service department is separate. It's a separate building, but it is right next door. They kind of have the whole corner. And
were you tightening lug nuts?
I wish I could have done that.
So they showed you stuff. They didn't actually let you touch cars.
I got to clean a car.
Oh.
I got to wash a car.
Did you go underneath a car on one of those rolly things?
No.
That's a technical term for you mechanics listening, the rolly thing.
Yeah, right.
That would have been fun.
That was fun. I went down North Avenue at about 62 miles an hour.
Oh, cool.
It's fun. On the rolly thing.
On the rolly thing.
Okay.
Yeah, which got me to Portillo's in 1.7 seconds.
Well, that's fast.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
So you were the delivery boy then.
I was. I absolutely was.
All right, so Miles Fogle is standing by. Who's Miles?
Miles is a sales associate with Auto Showcase and a great guy.
Hi, Miles. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You got a website you want to plug for the place?
Yeah, it's autoshowcase1.com. That's just the number one.
Have you ever met John prior to this? And if so, were you concerned?
I was concerned the first couple times I met him. Yeah, definitely. He's kind of a strange character, but we love him here, and he's been a good customer of the company since, I think, before I was born.
So, Miles, let me ask you this. When he comes to work, were you saddled with the task of keeping an eye on him?
I was. The new guy myself, it was kind of my task to take.
So everybody else was actually working, doing what they had to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so what were you told, what instructions were you given as to show John the place?
First of all, he's not allowed to drive anything with more than 200 horsepower. Not allowed to really talk price with any of the customers that may encounter. And, you know, don't break anything, really.
Wow. Well, that pretty much keeps you in a box.
But I was in a box most of the day.
But Miles is a guy that does both sides? Does he do sales and service?
No service for me, really. But
You walked John over to service because we're told you made him clean a car.
Yeah, we have a detail bay over on the sales side. Service, he actually did have to get his hands dirty a little bit.
Did he have to wax the car or just clean the car?
I think waxing would have been a little bit too complicated.
Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
Good. So you left quite an impression.
Well, I did, you know, and I know we kind of did, and it was fun, don't get me wrong. On a serious note, it was pretty cool because we talked about, you know, people go in to purchase a car and they're always like, oh my God, my credit is bad. Mm-hmm. I don't think this can happen. But you have to know that it's the dealership's relationship with the bank.
Yeah.
With the banks.
Yeah.
That is as important, if not more important, than your credit. They can't promise you anything. Well, you know,
right, because the dealer has to vouch for you that
correct.
You're going to pay the loan.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is a family-owned. This is great. These guys are not on commission. They don't get commission. This is all done. They all kind of help.
Pasta?
They get pasta. Mm-hmm. They get small amounts of rigatoni.
Nice.
So, which I really had quite a lot
of. But it sounds like the people that work there have worked there forever.
For a long time. A long time. There's not a lot of turnover. And like I said, the service is right there. So it was. But I did get, we do have a clip of when I got my hands dirty. So can we play that clip?
Yeah, roll
it.
This is John, undercover John working at Auto Showcase.
That was a waste of time. But at least you got your hands dirty.
Oh my God! I gotta get it off! Get it off!
So, see, I worked.
What were you yelling at?
I had my hand, my
yeah,
I had
grease.
Dirt on my hands.
Yeah.
That's what you were yelling you went crazy for?
I've never had dirty hands. They didn't tell me that the
stuff came off. Here's why, because as a comedian, it's not a real job.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
So you've never gotten your hands dirty. You've never actually worked a day.
I did get to, the positive thing for me is I got to play in some of the cars. That was fun.
Yeah, I'll
There's
bet.
There's video of me playing car.
Where will we see the videos?
You can go on Today Into Cause.
On YouTube.
On YouTube. And then you click on to the Undercover John. There's a...
How do you spell today?
T-O-D-A-Y.
T-O-D-A-Y. I-N.
I-N.
DeCause.
No, it just stops at Y.
DeCause.
Yes, DeCause. D-A-C-O-S-S-E. And I think Mary's going to put up a link on the WGN website as well.
Okay.
So you can go there.
Miles, once he left at the end of the day, did you feel better because you kept him from hurting the business?
No, you know, I mean, we have a pretty solid setup here already, so it would take a lot for just one guy to come in and I mean, we like he said, we, you know, we're a one-stop shop. We have high-end used vehicles. We have motorcycles.
Live from the...
Wow. Sorry.
We have a motorcycle dealership. We have a full-service mechanic center. And we also have an Allstate office. So really, anything vehicle-related, we can help you out with.
I didn't do anything in the insurance end, although the only time Miles got upset at me, and Miles, although you said this was okay, but I know he did, he got mad. I gave what I thought was a family of 15 I each gave them keys to test drive cars.
That's probably not what you want to do. Probably. What did you learned about, pardon me, financing. What else?
Well, the finance part, but also the service end that, you know, I think people get scared to bring their car in to a service.
Yeah, because you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. The old cliche is the service guys will take advantage of it.
Exactly. But because they own everything. Because, you know, it's when you go to dealerships, a lot of those times those bays are rented out by, they're leased by individual mechanics who then pay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this is not that. So you go there, the prices
are. So it's like a hair salon. You
kinda,
rent a chair.
Yeah, kind of. That's why.
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Okay, yeah. So
for
that's,
hair salons, yeah, but not for cars.
They don't necessarily work for Toyota or whoever, you know. So it's this is kind of cool because it's their place. So when you go into the service end, they quote you a price. This is what it is. And I've been going to them forever. So
since before Miles was born.
Before, I always get that thrown in my face.
I mean, look, you get what you pay for and who you deal with. If you trust the business, you trust the business.
True.
I've never gone to a dealership where I've gone, oh, no, now I'm in trouble. And
right,
it's not like I know what I'm talking about.
Correct.
If you go to Bob's House of Lug Nuts, you're probably going to have an issue. You know, I mean, you got to go to a reputable place. So I think the dealerships, you know, they're fine.
Oh, they're wonderful.
It's like you go to a doctor and you go, okay, you're saying I need my appendix out. I'm in terrible pain, but I'm going to get a second opinion because I don't know that I trust you. You may be just trying to make money. I mean, at some point you have to drop that.
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. But the financing end was really fascinating because they can work around, they can customize it to what you need, you know, what your needs are, where you're at financially. And it's kind of fun to see them, the way that they can adjust for you. I think it's kind of cool.
Miles, at any point during the day, did he get to say to a customer, what is it going to take to get you into this car today? Or I'm going to have to go back and talk to my general manager.
No, he kind of took the reins on his own for a second there. And I think he made a deal with a customer to get him a car for like $25 a month or something ridiculous.
Oh,
like that.
No.
Well, it was a BWM.
Yeah, a BWM or BMW is
one of the two.
If it was a BWM, it was probably the right price. Any final thoughts?
I just want to know, you said you got to play car. What was the coolest car you played in? And, you know, there's new gadgets now, like in Teslas. And what was the coolest gadget you got to play with?
Well, actually, I went right to old school. Was that a Nova, Miles?
Yeah, 72 Nova.
72 Nova. I jumped into that Nova. I was, like, on a highway. I was road warrior for, like, 5 minutes.
Nova? I bet you could get that up to 45 on a hill.
It was inside the showroom, so I really didn't move, but I was making the sounds like I was moving.
Right, and that was before power steering, and you had to roll the window down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Miles, congratulations on putting up with John. We're looking at some of the video on CLTV right now, and Miles, you look like a guy that would like to get a different job. So don't let it scare you away from the fine people at Auto Showcase, and give me the website one more time.
It's AutoShowcase1.com. That's just the numerical one at the end there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our phone number's on there. Like you said earlier, we're happy to help anybody out. Don't let the price tags intimidate you or anything like that. We can adjust to anyone's budget.
That's excellent. All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate the work.
Miles, thank you.
I'm watching the video that you can see on Today in DeCos on YouTube. And you're cleaning a car, and it looks like you're copying off the other person, you're watching how they clean.
Well, and from the video, also notice it's not a full size car. It's a model car. It's about 5 inches long.
I got to
wash and wax. They wouldn't let me touch the real stuff.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Today in DeCos, if you have a company you'd like John to come out and learn stuff and work for you, where do they go to contact you?
They can send an email to msandberg@wgnradio.com.
And she'll throw out the first one, but if you're persistent, the second one she'll pay attention to.
Persistence?
John should wax our cars now.
I got something
idea.
I'd like him to wax. It's 9:23. We're back after this at 7:20 WGN. And by the way, still to come, W. Maxwell, longtime Chicago stand-up comedy legend. Oh, what a life he's led. He's got a book out about it, and here's a tease. He's lucky he's not in jail. Coming up, the story of W. Maxwell, which, by the way, sounds like something Mark Twain might have written. Yes. It's 9:23 on 7:20 WGN. Trump is barely listening this morning. President Trump says everybody's arguing whether or not it's a ban. Call it what you want. It's about keeping bad people with bad intentions out of the country. So now Sean Spicer has to go to the briefing today and go, okay, we changed your mind, it's a ban.
It is a ban.
I don't know why you people don't call it a ban. Right. It's totally a ban.
God, blame the media.
The hazing of Judge Gorsuch is probably going to be something else. I mean, a Supreme Court hazing.
Yes.
You know, things they do behind closed doors in those robes you don't want to know about.
It is kind of interesting. If you've ever read about the Supreme Court, they have different, they can design their robes specified to, you know, what things they like. And
I think there should be licensing.
On the robes?
Yeah, like a NASCAR uniform. You know, we have patches on them.
Logos?
Yeah, help pay for the expenses of the Supreme Court.
You don't think that'd be a conflict at all?
Well,
I suppose
if one of them had a case that appeared in front of it, you'd have to rip the patch off the robe. But prior to that,
it'd be Velcro patches.
And maybe you privatize the Supreme Court.
Oh, God. Please, Steve. Please. Our hearts can only take so much for 8 days.
And now, welcome to the Jiffy Lube Supreme Court. That type of thing. You know what I'm saying? These are just ideas. There are no bad ideas. Hey, yesterday I spent the afternoon with the world's greatest granddaughter, my only grandchild, Abigail Grace. She's now 13 months old.
2 days in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She requested me to come back the second day. And you could tell the way she went, huh? Yeah. So we hung out all yesterday afternoon. And as promised, I had her make her prediction for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may be saying, how do you get a one-year-old to pick the Super Bowl? I took a I found a picture online. And then I also happened to have a magazine, I had a Sports Illustrated, that had a picture I could use as well. Mm-hmm. So the picture I used online was a picture of a falcon.
Oh, yeah.
The bird,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
And the picture in the magazine I used was a picture of Kellyanne Conway in her red, white, and blue outfit for the Inauguration Day festivities.
Yeah, the Revolutionary War coat.
Yeah, where she looked like the Patriots logo. Yep. So I showed them both to Abigail, and she wanted Cheerios. And then after that, I had her look at them again, and she picked the pretty bird picture.
She did, okay.
Yeah. So that means Abigail totally behind the Falcons.
With the points.
And take the points.
That's okay, exactly did right. You show her any pictures of Patriots?
Yeah, Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, that's okay.
Yes. In her
reference. Like I said, you should have showed him Tom Brady.
That's kind of what I meant.
Showed her Tom Brady?
Yeah.
She's a year old.
What?
You think she's going to go, he's hot?
No. Well, no, but he's...
You know what? You can deal with Ross Vanderbilt. I'll tell you that right now.
Poor baby.
Just be interesting to get a reaction.
Don't talk about Abigail dating. Oh, my God. Steve's head will spin out of control.
It happened sooner than
I got to tell you, there was a little boy in Ross's building, and I didn't like the way he was looking at Abigail.
Yeah.
Did you have a play date?
Bad intentions.
So, yeah, well, I did notice that Abigail was on my phone. And, you know, the kids of the internets.
Was she swiping?
Was she on Match.com?
She's a good swiper.
Yeah, she's good. She's
no, she was on P Harmony. Yeah, it's not E Harmony, it's P Harmony.
Preemie Harmony?
It wasn't Tinder.
Yeah, P-E-E, P Harmony. It's 9:31, back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Thing is, I'm a little brother. Little brother is the worst part of any family to get. Little brothers are having nightmares right now because we get the thing. My brother, big brother, standing on my chest, and he kneels down, takes my arm, starts whacking me in my own head, saying, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? If I would just shut up and take the beating, I'd be okay. But no, because Orca the killer whale is kneeling on my chest. I told him, I said, you're older than me, and if God is fair, you will die before I will. So someday, I'll stand over your open coffin and go, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you kicking yourself? Oh, man, I've been in the trick bag since day one, man. I've always been a misfit. My birth certificate has an asterisk. I found out my guardian angel, I'm in his no-fly zone, man.
Dobie Maxwell's here, and if you ever spend any time watching comedy in Chicago, you've probably seen Dobie. Been doing it for a long time and very funny, always on stage. But I've known Dobie for, I don't know, 20 years.
Long time.
Until I saw a little bit of Monkey in the Middle and heard the full story from John DeCoste, our mutual friend, I had no idea about this. Your life is a movie.
It is a movie, and I think they're going to get a couple of Wayans brothers to play it, and Caitlyn Jenner, and a duck. It's nothing like the book. The book is always the true story.
It's called Monkey in the Middle. It's out and available, I assume, wherever books are sold?
No, Eckhart's Press. Rick Kempfer is our
radio guy. Rick's great.
Rick is great. Yeah, he's published a lot of books. Yeah. He took me on. I'm the, he gets a good parking spaces when he signs a radio guy.
That's Eckhart's Press, Eckhartz Press, Monkey in the Middle. Get two copies, you're careless, you lose the first one. Let's start with the beginning, and John, you were telling me about this. You were raised by your grandparents.
Yeah, my dad was a biker. He rode with the Outlaws motorcycle gang, and my mom abandoned our family. I've got an older brother, older sister, and me. I was 5 months old, and my grandpa said, I can't do that to you. I don't know what's going to send you to some orphanage. I don't know where you're going to go. I'll try to raise you myself. So he did the best.
So did you grow up with your brother and sister?
No, I did not. I never lived with them. I would, like, Christmas vacations, I'd go down there and spend some time with them, but never.
Did they stay with the biker gang?
They stayed with the biker gang. My father remarried, and that was it was the anti-Brady Bunch.
So what sort of relationship did you have with your parents growing up? Anything?
Nothing. There's not one photo of my father and me ever at any time in our lives. Ever.
And your mom?
My mom, I saw her for the first time when I was 10 years old. Then I saw her again when I was 18. I spent more time with you on the radio than I spent with my mother.
Did they ever look back and apologize?
Never did. My father was a jerk right to the end. He said, you want an apology? I'm sorry. There, we'll see how you do with your kids. And he was just a bad person, and some people shouldn't have kids, and I had two.
How about your mother? No apology, no explanation.
Never an apology. I don't know if she's living or dead until...
Were they old hippies, or what was the story?
I don't know. My grandpa said there was something wrong with that kid right in the womb. I could see in the crib there was something wrong with him. I tried being a good dad. He just didn't take to it.
But you must have been very close to your grandparents.
My grandma was cold and German. I grew up in Milwaukee. I didn't get my first hug until I was 37, and I wish that was a joke. I said, what took you so long? I don't know. Just didn't have it in me. Germans are not known for their warmth and their mirth. You don't see the Stuttgart comedy night on German TV.
Yeah, when you're in Berlin, stop by the Mirth Hut. Yeah.
Dobie has this bit where he talks about bringing... lunch to school, and they would trade, and it was always hard for him to trade because it's like, who wants sauerkraut?
Yeah. Big old, Stalin.
So the roles were sort of reversed then, right? Because she was the bring home the bacon type, bring home the sauerkraut type. She would speak when you're spoken to.
She hated to cook. You also had grandma, the fallacy is, oh, grandma's going to cook Easter dinner and all
stuff. None of that.
She was clean. The Germans are neat freaks. My grandma could iron your shirt while you're wearing it, and you wouldn't feel it.
Right.
But it's funny because the country, Germany, he's got the word shirt, germ in it.
Shirt, uniform, fine line between the two.
Everything. She wanted me to wear lederhosen in the school,
But the grandfather, you were tight with
grandfather
him.
Was great. He was wonderful, and if it wasn't for him, I'd be dead or in jail. It's a big part of the book, how he just kind of mentored me. He said, your father didn't take to it. You're on the peak of a house. You can go either way. And he had bypass surgery in the 70s, and it's a lot easier now. Now I think they have a drive-through window. They got a pizza cutter.
Yeah, it's true.
Slice, you're good. They cut him like a fish from his ankles to his throat.
That's true.
And he had to go on these big, long 5-10-mile walks every day. So I'm 5, 6, 7 years old, and he'd take me and he'd just teach me lessons of life. He said, your father didn't want to hear it. Your grandma doesn't talk to me. You're the one that's going to hear it. He teach me how to identify cars.
That's kind of cool.
Buick, Cadillac. And he'd say, okay, I bet my grandson, I'll bet you a quarter, my grandson can identify the next three cars that come around the corner. Buick, Pontiac, Ford. And he'd take that money and he'd buy us ice cream.
You know who's really good at the car thing is our boss Todd's daughter.
Oh, Gia. She's incredible. We were at the Northwestern game and she knew my
car. She's 9 or 10
sight.
And she walks out and she goes, Edsel.
She's great. And I was showing her some of the classic cars from Cuba, and she was going, Buick, Chevy. It's hilarious.
Oh, it's a cool memory about your grandfather. He sounds like he was a really good guy.
He was the best. I'm telling you. He warned me about...
So did you grow up... were there other kids in the house?
Nope.
Just you.
Those two, and they fought like cats and dogs. My grandpa said 10 years is the magic time for marriage. If you can make 10 years, you can make a lifetime. You're going to fight the whole way through. Before 10 years, it's big stuff, could be a deal breaker. After 10 years, it's little tiny stuff. And my grandma used to use my grandpa's old shorts. Guys, after 40, you keep underwear way too long. He's got 62 pairs. She's wiping, polishing, cleaning, dusting. He comes home. That's when I wasn't done wearing those yet.
They lived through the Great Depression.
They
didn't like each other, so they fought about anything.
Right. And this little cracker box post-World War house, they couldn't separate each other. They're close, and man, one little thing would just set them off.
Well, the book seems to break down into two parts. It's the family stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody says comedians, they're all screwed up. They come from unhappiness. Look, I had my own dysfunctional childhood.
Dented kids.
You did. Most of us come from something where if you didn't laugh, you'd cry, and you could have turned the other way. However, you could be in jail.
Absolutely.
You can make the argument that you should be in jail.
I have committed two felonies, and I'm sorry to say that. I had to cut a deal with the government to not go to prison.
We're going to come back and tell you an amazing story, and Dobie Maxwell and his best friend at that point what his best friend did to him. Stand by for that as the movie Dobie is being filmed right now here in the studio. Who's going to play you in the movie?
I don't know. I hope it's somebody cute. But you can be one of the cops because you're an analytic
guy. Yeah, be the cop. Yeah, yeah. Denzel.
Of course.
Yeah, Denzel.
Yeah.
Denzel Cochran.
Yeah, that's it. More coming up with Dobie Maxwell in a second. And again, get the book. Eckhart's Press is the website where you go?
That's where to get it. One click, you get it.
Okay, Eckhart's Press. Eckhartz. The movie's, or the book's called Monkey in the Middle. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Dobie Maxwell is here. John, how long have you known Dobie?
I think the first time we worked together, 1987.
Yeah, you want to tell the story?
Yeah, it was Dobie, myself, and Jeff Foxworthy in Detroit, Michigan.
And do I know this story right? Jeff Foxworthy was a friend of yours. And
he wasn't. I had heard of John's name, and we had met in Detroit.
But Foxworthy liked your act.
He liked my act. He said, you're a funny kid. I want to take you to lunch tomorrow, and I got this idea. It's going to make $1 million. And I heard, like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 buy you lunch. That's what I heard.
Yes.
So we're sitting there, and he said, here's my idea. You might be a redneck if. And I said, in my 22-year-old wisdom, that is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my entire life. He goes, why'd you say that? Because that's something that Mad Magazine put out in about 1962. If you can sell that to the American public, Mary Kay should give you the biggest pink Cadillac she's got. And he said, I'm going to make $1 million. And I got right in his face, $1 million, $1 million.
You're going free lunch, free lunch.
It's Dobie, Dobie shot down, you might be a redneck. And here's a fact. This isn't fake news. Jeff Foxworthy is the richest comedian in history.
Oh, yeah.
He has made more money in comedy thanks to You Might Be a Redneck than anyone
and
has ever
awesome
been
guy.
Doing. And he is a great
a
guy.
A wonderful guy.
Really
and it's funny, I had a radio job in Salt Lake City, and I told that story on the air, and my partner on the air said, I don't believe it. I said, he doesn't know I'm working here. We're going to have him on the air in about an hour. Mention my name, and sure enough, and Jeff told the story first. I said, hi, Jeff, I'm here. He goes, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Redneck's
Mr.
event
Redneck
idea.
Mr. Redneck drove up in his limo, yeah.
Monkey in the Middle is the book. Dobie Maxwell's here. All right, we're going to fast forward a little bit in the interest of time. Mm-hmm. Your best friend's name is what?
Timbo. His name is Timbo. He just became Timbo somewhere along the line.
So Timbo and you would hang out, as guys do.
Since 11 years old.
And Timbo needs to make a run to the bank one day? Is that how it works?
Well, he worked at the bank, and he was a head of security, and he got fired. And I was working at a radio station in
but
Milwaukee.
He seemed to have some money.
Well, that's the thing. I heard the three magic words you never want to see here in the radio business. Shut the door. Nothing good ever happens after that. They got your paperwork. So I was depressed. I said, let's go someplace warm. It's my hometown. He goes, where do you want to go? I said, how about Las Vegas? We've never been there before. I'll rent a car, pick up my cousin. We'll be a three guys.
So you did a road trip.
Did a road trip. I rented the car, picked up my cousin. He robbed the bank that he used to work at. He had $105,000 of stolen bank money in my rental car because I'm the only one that had a credit card as we drove from Milwaukee to Las Vegas. And he didn't tell me he had the money until almost a year later.
All right, so you didn't know
no
at that
idea.
Point.
But he acted weird, and it was weird, and he just left these clues.
And he had cash.
But he didn't act like he had cash.
Okay, so he was trying to hide it.
He was trying to hide
at
it.
At what point does he say the words, I want to do it again, or I'm going to do it again?
A year later, I had a car accident, flipped over a convertible, almost died. He took me to therapy every day. I had to learn how to walk all over again.
Sure.
My jaw's wired shut. And we're getting ready to go out to eat breakfast. I had no car. He said, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm going to rob the bank again.
What?
And I said, you're going to what? Exactly right. He goes, here's what I want you to do. I said, here's what I want you to do. Turn the car around. Drop me off at home. He goes, no, no. I want you to stand across the street from the bank. They're so stupid at that bank that they're never going to know it's me. I got a costume. You'll know what it is. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's so clever. It's so obvious. So I'm standing across, shaking like a three-legged dog going through heroin withdrawal, scared to death. And he comes around in a gorilla mask, a tuxedo, helium balloons, like he's a gorilla-gram. It's the middle of Milwaukee downtown, and he's passing out balloons to kids. People are waving at him. And he said, if I get in the bank, I will get away with it. He goes, if they get me the $6 an hour rent-a-cops that they fired us for, they'll catch me. If I get it a minute later, you can go. So he got in, and I went. I took a bus home, and I looked down, and the new news came on. Lead story. A man in a gorilla mask robbed a downtown bank today. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he got away with it. Suspects
all right.
at large.
So now you've got to decide, am I going to go to the police, or am I going to think about it or whatever? Mm-hmm. Which happened first? The police came to you, or you went to them?
I did not come to me. It didn't happen. Days became weeks, became months, and nothing happened. I knew he robbed the bank. He knew he robbed the bank. Life just went on. So I was healing up from my car accident. I'm thinking, well, he's nuts. I've got to get away from him. So
sure.
I got an offer to do a radio job in Reno, Nevada at a country western station.
Okay.
I didn't know Mel Brooks from Garth Brooks. I'll take the job, sight unseen. And here's how well I was doing. I had a Geo Metro at the time. I put all my worldly possessions in the Geo Metro, and I had room left over for hitchhikers. That's how little I had in my life. So long story longer, I get out to Reno. Things are going pretty well. I got a nice job. My partner's okay. 3-4 months later, I get a call. Yes, this is the Milwaukee Milwaukee FBI. Is this Mr. Maxwell? We got a couple of questions to ask you. Ask me about the first bank robbery. They mentioned Timbo's name. Well, there's another bank robbery with a Gorilla Gram, and that was on the front page of the news and the TV. We think you might have some, you being a comedian and all, you know, you probably thought that was pretty funny. I don't know how funny bank robbery is, but yeah, I'm aware of it. Okay, so you're saying you had nothing to do with it. No, I had nothing to do with it. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, we get off the air at 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:01, the general manager of the radio station comes in. The FBI is here to see you. Do you have any idea what it's about? Yes, sir, I do. And they sat me down. They said, we're going to cut the stuff. We think your buddy did the first robbery in 1991. We think you did the second one, Mr. Comedian. That's what a comedian would do, put on a gorilla mask.
So they're going to pinch you for either doing the robbery or being an accessory.
They thought
and an accessory,
it.
I believe, is 7 years minimum.
Yeah, and then the other one was I lied to a federal agent when I said I had nothing
to do
with
it. Well, there's probably five or ten more.
That's two of them right there.
Yeah.
So they said they were going to plea bargain it for 4.5 years. My lawyer said you have to testify against your best friend or you're going to jail, and innocent people go to jail all the time. So if you did this, you better tell me. And I didn't do it, so I ended up having to wear a wire for the government to get him to confess that he did it.
And then testify against him. Now, he went to jail for how long?
6.5 years. That's all they got. They only prosecuted him for the first robbery.
And he's out now.
He's out now. The day I started at another radio station in town, I worked at a station.
Were you at the Loop, right?
Yeah. And the day I started, he got out of prison.
Did you ever talk to him again?
Never. Last time I had a wire.
Was he violent?
No, and that's what the FBI said. He goes, he was a punk. He goes, he'll never see you again because he's talking to Matt.
So you don't have to worry about walking out to your car.
Well, he could be there now. I mean, I built Bill Left's packing heat now when he comes in here.
Yeah.
I always worry about him.
Yeah. Well, Bill quit robbing banks years ago.
He did.
It really is. It's an amazing
story.
That's
the short
story.
Version. There's twists.
That
there's
is
turns.
A short version. There's a million twists and turns.
It took about 7 years to play out. It's
this is a movie, man.
Yeah.
This is an absolute movie, and it's a true story, and you're very lucky that you're not in jail.
I was very lucky to live through it.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Can I clear my name for just a second? Dolby said I'm packing heat. It's a heating pad. There's a huge difference between packing heat and a heating pad.
Yeah. True fact, Bill.
Monkey in the Middle is a book. Eckhart's Press. Get it wherever Eckhart's Press is sold at
eckhartspress.com.
It would have been easier, John, I think you'd agree, if he didn't come in here in a monkey outfit. Right?
Yeah, but I like the balloons.
Passing out bananas to everybody.
Bananas and balloons.
Good potassium for the winter season.
If you ever get a chance to see Dobie on stage, do it. The movie will be coming eventually, I promise you. But get the book, Monkey in the Middle. All right, Bill is next. I think Wendy's here. Bill and Wendy coming up.